Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, we talk a lot about retirement, clearly. I mean, that's all that we do. But there's a new risk we're going to add to the conversation about retirement.
Ah.
And I'm going to call that risk regret. So this is an interesting report put out by CIBC. Clients have a new retirement risk. It's called regret. We've got Jamie Golombek joining us today, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning, CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. Jamie, welcome back to the show. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's talk about this. According to the this most recent report, more than one quarter of retired Canadians regret their decision to retire. What is going on?
Well, we went out there with a poll in January, and we asked Canadians about their retirement, and then we asked them, like, are they still working? A quarter of them said they regretted it, and an equal number have tried to actually re-enter the labor market with limited success. You know, most of them returning for the intellectual stimulation, 59%, but half actually said that it's financial concerns that had them returning to work.
Well, that might not be exactly the picture that people think about with retirement, right? That's a big number in terms of regret. Were there any consistencies that you guys saw? You know, was it a, it wasn't what I expected? I mean, I understand the financial component. Was it what they were running out of money or they thought they were going to? Is there anything you could characterize there to be a little more specific on what they were feeling?
Yeah, again, well, I mean, we asked them specifically that, like, why are they returning back? And then the number one reason was probably boredom. In other words, they're looking for some type of intellectual stimulation to have some kind of purpose, you know, to feel, you know, important with their life. But half of them did say it is financial concerns. And that sort of begs the bigger question and reason why we actually came out with a companion report on retiring right, looking at all the tax implications of retirement and what are the different sources of income that you're going to have in retirement, from Canada Pension Plan to OIS to RSPs, TFSAs, private pensions. How are they all taxed, and are there things you could be doing in advance or even in retirement to maximize your retirement cash flow?
Yeah, that was a great report, and I'm going to ask our team to hopefully put that on our site at morethanmoneyradio.com to come pick that up if you want a copy of that. We'll put it as a PDF, hopefully, and get that so you can download it. If not, we'll be able to put a link up there so you can grab it yourself. But it was a very good report, Jamie, and I thank you for you and your team for putting that together. There was a couple things in regards to regret when it comes to the financial piece. When people are transitioning to or living in retirement, they miss out or they forget about certain things they have to worry about when they go into retirement from an income perspective. From that report, what were the key things that you recall that are things that people need to remember when they transition to retire from a financial perspective?
Yeah, again, there are some basic things, like, you know, when you're converting from an RSP to a RIF, there are certain credits that you can take advantage of. The pension income credit is certainly one of them. In addition to that, there's the opportunity to do pension splitting. There's the opportunity to do Canada Pension Plan sharing. In fact, some people actually thought you could share your OIS, which is absolutely not true. But there's some misinformation there in terms of what planning and credits are available to you. And I think the other thing that's important to keep in mind is that if you are doing some part-time work, you can still go on and continue to claim the Canada Employment Credit. So, again, there are tax advantages and credits that are still available to you. And I think it's very important to work with an advisor, a tax advisor, a financial advisor, to make sure that you're totally on top of all the opportunities when it comes to after-tax planning for retirement income.
You know, Jamie, in the report, too many Canadians approaching retirement without a plan. You know, we've done lots of pieces on this. Now, that plan, I'd like you to comment on that, because it's not just a financial plan. You touched on something, I think, Faisal, that you and I talk with people about all the time, and that's about the engagement model, right? Everybody knows what they're retiring from, but they don't necessarily know what they're retiring to. So a plan doesn't just mean a financial plan. It means what that transition is going to look like, what you're transitioning to, how you're spending your time, and so on and so forth. But maybe you can speak broadly about this idea of not having a plan and the kind of stress that it creates.
Yeah, I mean, people really retire, and sometimes it's voluntary, but sometimes it's involuntary. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, one day, they have nowhere to go the next day. And while they may be okay financially, there's really nothing to do. They haven't thought about it. And, you know, of course, people are living longer, and, you know, we're seeing people retiring in late 50s, early 60s, and if they're in relatively good health, they could live 30 more years. And, you know, have we planned for this? Not just financially, but have we planned in terms of how are we going to occupy our time and find purpose with those years? Is it volunteering? Is it doing a part-time job? Is it honing a skill that we've always wanted, working on a hobby? Maybe it's your golf game. But I really think you need to sit down and think about what you're planning to do and how you're planning to spend your retirement.
Well, and you may have just answered the next question. I was going to, you know, say, as we sort of sign off here in terms of the results, what would you say people need to do in order to prevent the regret from when they retire? Again, whether it's voluntary or involuntary, if you're getting towards that age that retirement's becoming a little more common, what should they be doing?
Well, the number one thing, and the reason why we did this poll in the first place and wrote the report, is to have a plan. I think there's a lot of people out there that can help you if you don't can't do it on your own. Have a financial plan, have a retirement plan, and also have a life plan in terms of what is your goal, what are the things, the objectives you plan to accomplish in retirement. And if you have a plan, you'll feel a lot more comfortable about that retirement day.
Yeah, I think that's great news. We'll sum it up and we'll leave it there. Jamie, thanks for your time today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
We've been joined by Jamie Golombek. He's the Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning, CIBC Financial Planning and Advice. And, you know, Faisal, I want to talk about this because Jamie concluded there with something I think is really important. We go and we, you know, through these educational seminars that we've been doing for years, we talk about the fact there's a difference between a lifestyle plan and a financial plan.
Correct.
Right? And you have to start with this lifestyle plan, which is more holistic and it's broader. I mean, I don't like that word holistic, but it's broader based, right? You need to think a little bit about what your lifestyle is going to look like. You've got this cool program or project that you often do with clients about the 31 things.
Yes.
That helps people determine what it is they're going to, what they anticipate they're going to be doing. Walk us through a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I challenge everybody to actually write this stuff down. 31 things you want to do in retirement. And people say 31, they get kind of shocked by the number. And there's a rationale behind the number. The first 10 usually are pretty easy to do. I want to travel here. I want to do this. I want to do that. The next 10 get a bit more challenging. The last 11... you actually start going deep into the values of what you want to do in your retirement. What's most important
right,
to you?
Right.
What do you value? It's mostly to do with things that are not always financially dependent.
Or even activity-based necessarily.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
It's getting into what you really believe in. And that's where I think people need to do that. So write the 31 things you want to do in retirement and do it individually from your partner.
Bingo.
Because there sometimes is an influence from one partner to the other, or your personalities may clash, or things that you really wanted to do may not be brought up because you want to make sure that your partner's okay with it. So I say do it separately. Don't share it with each other. Just keep it separate from the onset. And then once you have completed that task and your partner's completed that task, then you get together and you start to write down every single one of them on a board. We use whiteboards in our office, Dave. So we kind of write them down and you kind of figure out which one is he wants to do, what she wants to do. And there's going to be a lot of overlapping activity that's going to be on your we list. So there's things that you can do individually, things you can do as a couple. And that kind of gives you an idea of how your retirement activities and things you're going to be doing in your retirement are going to be played out.
Well, and it also addresses, and I take you back to our first, second retirement seminar. There was really interesting, and people, if they do this exercise, if you're listening and you do this exercise with your spouse, one of you may be under the impression that when you retire and you're both at home, you're doing everything together, right? Think about your life. Is that the way your life has been?
Yeah.
Most people haven't done that. There are people that work together and so on. But most of us have separate lives. We called our work lives. And then we had this joint life that often involved kids and other activities that you do jointly, right? So that kind of Venn diagram idea that you're talking about, if one of you has an assumption you're 24/7 together and the other one doesn't, that can lead to serious problems. So this is it's an excellent exercise, right? To get focused on who wants to do what and when. And when I want to do something that may be separate from my partner, mm-hmm. I don't want my partner to feel like I'm leaving him or her out, right?
Exactly.
It's just part of the process.
And understanding that at least starting that process, even though life will throw things at you, will make you change the way you want to have things happen in your retirement, still having some sort of structure or plan will give you that freedom for the future.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we often do a lot of planning around work and when we're raising kids and so on and so forth. I want to suggest to you that your retirement, the phase of your retirement life could be, in fact, longer than you're working. It will likely be longer than when you were raising children. It's an important phase, and we tend not to be doing much thinking about what's going to look like. I won't harp on that anymore. Let's remind everybody about our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, you don't want to have regret in your retirement, so we're going to talk about how to bulletproof your retirement and ensure that your lifestyle never retires on Tuesday, 8:30 p.m., April 23rd at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
You think you're mentally ready for retirement? Maybe not. Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.